This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight guest Calvin Randall from Chicago, Illinois. He suffered two strokes at the age of 55. Calvin built houses for 34 years. He sees parallels between reconstructing a house and reconstructing life after a stroke. In this episode, he offers tools that help him reconstruct his life. Thank you for joining us for part two, Calvin Randall's interview. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. Today's guest is Calvin Randall from Chicago, Illinois. He suffered not one, but two strokes in September 2017 at the age of 55. He's a dedicated husband, father, and grandfather. Calvin is very involved in the Hebrew College. He facilitates classes for teens. He is the founder and facilitator of Ultimate Reach Stroke Support Group and wrote a book entitled What God Did in 31 Days, My Story of Healing and Hope. But before we begin with Calvin, let us take a moment of pause, to call to mind people in our lives who may be struggling on the inside, in their own thoughts and emotions. May they find comfort, support, and hope on their journey. Maybe one of our own experiences in times of struggle will inspire us to reach out to offer this comfort, support, hope. Today, we give thanks for how far we have come in our own journey with recovery, and we ask for strength and motivation to continue progressing so that we may serve a world in need of our gifts. Thank you for sharing your tools. Thank you for sharing your story, Calvin.
Thank you, Ms. Molly, for the opportunity.
Calvin, so you've been through quite a journey. When you returned home from the hospital, what were your residual effects?
Well, you know, I couldn't do a whole lot of things like cooking. I couldn't do a lot of things like washing my back. I was able to wash myself up, but it wasn't thoroughly. You know, when I first got home, but I'm moving toward that now. But it took a lot for me to get to this point because when it first started, I never would have thought that this would happen to me. Somebody coming home wasn't able to do the things I was doing. You know, wasn't able to, it's good, wasn't able to drive, wasn't able to get up and go when I wanted to get up. It was a little taxing. But I'm learning even today how to still be humble and sit down and do what you got to do to get better. That's what I would say, Ms. Mom.
And what are your residual effects now?
I am so enthusiastic about life now. There's so much that I've been going through that I want to share with others. Because, you know, you never know when you may be in this situation. Or you'll never know if your parents, your friends, your neighbor, it can happen to anyone at any time. So you really have to stay humble and do what you need to do to get better. Well, there's still limitation because I still cannot walk a long time, a long distance without I get tired a lot quicker now. I mean, you know, by doing my exercise and stuff, it's building my inside as well as my outside. So it's still some limitation is there, but a lot of that will never come back till when I am fully healed on the inside and out.
You decided to write your book, What God Did in 31 Days, My Story of Healing and Hope, fairly soon after you returned home from the hospital. What inspired you to write that book?
It was by the grace of God. God spoke to me when I went in and when I was in the emergency room. And the lady told me, she said, you had a stroke on Monday. And you're having another one now, which was Wednesday. So the stroke was like 2 days apart. And I thank God for just saving my life and allowing me to still be here. And he told me, he said, I need you. I saved you. I need you to help someone else. And so it was a real impact that I needed to get the story out about people that's having stroke because you don't hear about it a lot. People don't talk about it a lot, but I'm one here today to talk about it, to get it out there so we can be heard.
That's so helpful. A lot of people that I hear from say that they didn't even know anyone that had a stroke when they had theirs, and they didn't know who to reach out to or what to do at that point when they returned home. So you sharing your story, I'm sure, will help other people.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. You're clearly a family man, and your book highlights that, too. How did your relationship with your wife change after the strokes?
Oh, it did a 360 turn, you know, because we was on the verge of getting a divorce. You know, we wasn't communicating. We wasn't really talking on a good term basis. But when I had it had a chance to humble me down there, God had to humble her down too. So our relationship started changing when I knew that there was the only person I had to take care of me. I mean, my wife is, I tell her every day, I'm like, you're my goal. You're my goal. You know, because I don't think I would have made it without her. Because you see a lot of people that have stroke have to go in home and nursing home, you know, their children can't take care of them. They don't know how to take care of them. So, you know, some of them just left out there. And they're not doing well. You know, I even had a friend that had a stroke and his wife left him. So, and she was a nurse, so she knew exactly what he was going through. But I pray for him every day. I try to call him and encourage him, you know, and do what I can do to try to help out.
Yeah, it's interesting. Stroke gives us, like I say in the beginning, a moment of pause. And the title of the show is Beyond Stillness, because stroke offers us a moment of pause to look at our lives and shift in ways that we do have control of.
Yes.
So you talking about your relationship with your wife and taking that moment of pause and reevaluating the relationship and shifting. That's a beautiful way of taking your stroke as an opportunity for growth.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure. I mean, it's been 6 years, but it's been the happiest 6 years. I've really found a friend in Ivy. You know, she was always there, but I didn't see that side of her. Because we close each other off. You know, we think about our own self instead of thinking about the next person.
What else has helped your relationship develop over the time?
My children. I have 3 children. I have 2 grandkids. And it's been a beautiful journey that even my kids are there to support, to help me in any way that they do. And they can't. My two sons stay out of state, but I have a daughter that stays not too far. She cooks for me. She do grocery shopping for me. She's a great encouragement to me, you know. That's the only girl I have, so I love her even dearly. You know, and I love the boys too, you know. And then my grandkids, it's so good to see them grow up. When I was able, back then, able to get up under the table, roll on the floor with them while they was growing up, and I can't do that now. So they're understanding because my son is teaching them like what I'm going through, and they see what I'm going through, but it's good to just side out them in my life, you know, to just be there and see them smile and still love their papa.
What did they call you?
Papa.
Papa, I love that. How has your emotional relationship shifted with your kids?
Oh, that changed too a lot, the emotional part. You know, whenever they always did for me, but it's like they go overboard now, you know, since I'm a little injured now. You know, they don't have me want for anything. If I say I need it, it's there, you know. And that's what all three of them. So they're a great light to my life.
Yeah, you mentioned your relationships with them are a motivation for your physical therapy, even.
Yes, that it is. Because in the book, I gave each one of them to write their story, how they felt about me before and after the stroke. So they really encouraged me, let me know how they really was feeling when this happened, you know. You know, a lot of time we didn't get together, we didn't get along at first, you know, but time brings about a change in everybody's life, you know, and I'm not saying I'm happy I had this stroke, but I'm glad to know what I know now from having this stroke, that we have even got even closer.
It's really important to give family members space to voice what's going on in them too throughout your recovery process. And I love that you gave them an opportunity to do so by writing a chapter in your book. At one point in your story, you talked about what you do when you get overwhelmed or sad or depressed.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about what sends you into those moments and how you pull yourself out?
That's a good question, Bobby. Very good question. Bobby, being a man, that I worked construction for 34 years. I had 2 and 3 jobs when I was coming up so I could provide for my family. So they didn't have no need or want for anything. So to be down, you know, you feel, I mean, that's the first inclination that, oh, I'm down. I want to be in a pity party. But when you have done all you can do, you don't need to be in a pity party. You know, you got everything you need in your life. You got your children. I have my children, my wife, the grandkids, you know. What more a person can I ask for? You know, so I don't want to be greedy. I have everything I need, so I don't have no need to be pity party. But I just want to just encourage people that's out there, that's going through, that being in the pity party. The pity party is not going to help you. It won't help you at all. We need to jump out of it and read. And they want to say, you know how they're doing the operating table and jumpstart your heart. Come on, let's start over. Let's start over. You don't have to be in that point. So I'll tell everybody I meet, you know, it's not time to be in no pity party. It's time to live life and live it to the fullest.
Man, jumpstart your heart. I love that, Calvin. Jumpstart your heart. So what you're telling me is when you spiral downward like that, you give yourself a talk like you just gave us, a little bit of a pep talk.
Or when I do, I may even call one of my children, you know, and let them know what I'm going through or the way I'm feeling. And they say, Dad, you're not going to be like that always. Come on now. Come on out of it. It's going to be all right. And they encourage me. And that encouragement pulled me out of it, you know. Or coming on, as the wife come and give me a kiss on the forehead, that pulls me out of it, you know. It's certain things that can trigger you to move another way. And so the family have been that healthy. I thank God for them.
Yeah, I'm sure they thank God for you too, Calvin. Another thing that you mentioned, both in your story and just now, is something that helps you pull out of that is reaching out to someone else to help them. And it doesn't have to necessarily be another stroke survivor, though we all need that help. It might be helping your daughter or your grandkid or someone in a difficult situation. And I love that you talk about offering yourself to others again and again and again. You can tell what type of person you are. Speaking of, what inspired you to start the Ultimate Reach Support Group?
Because there's not enough help out there in society for people to go to. I mean, there's some groups, they want to tell you, you can't be involved because maybe you're a different color, you're a different background, you're a different creed. You know, no one should be, you know, treated any kind of way in society. You know, we all are God's creatures and we all need to be helped. And wherever I can help out, even if I have to go over to my daughter's house and the light people, the gas people might come over and just sit there and wait for them to come, I can do it. You know, it's different ways you can help out, you know? So I started the store group just to help the people in Chicago. Maybe they had because I had a facility at one time, and we used to meet every week, but they got too much for me to meet every week in person. And so I started doing it on Zoom. We do it on Zoom every 3 months. We do it on a quarterly basis. So I give them something to look for, to be encouraged by. I may have a doctor on the line. I might have a neurologist on the line. I might even have, like, my wife and my home giver. I may have her to speak or have what she's going through. So it's different ways we can help, you know, but I need to really get this out in society because no one speaks about stroke victim. That's all you may hear. Oh, they had a stroke and that's it. But our life is not that's it. You know, we still need to go forward. We need to still move on. So I'm here to help wherever I can to get better and stronger.
Calvin, you said that you meet online now. Is that right?
Yes, on Zoom call.
So how can people find your support group?
And they could just dial up on my the website where you could get the book at skyscrapermentorship.org. They could get all the information from there where they can come to the stroke group meeting and stuff. It's on that website. They can get it.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. When you first started the stroke support group, Ultimate Reach Stroke Support Group, how did you start it? How did you start the group? How'd you get the word out?
The reason why I did it, I told you God had told me to help someone else. So what I did to the hospital, I went to that when I had the stroke, look up in the mirror. They had a stroke group there. And I wanted to see how it was ran, to see some of the stroke victims, and to tell my story. So I just said, well, let me go ahead and do it a little further. Those ones that have the stroke right now, why don't I just help them get to the next level they need to be at? So I just started the stroke group because of that, and God ordained me to do it. He told me to help someone, and that's my way of helping someone.
Calvin, you're such a vibrant person. You're clearly outgoing and you're engaging. And I'm sure the groups have helped a lot of different people from all walks of life. And sometimes people enter those groups and they might be not as outgoing as you are, but you're creating this space for each person to share their story and to listen to each other. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's one of the requirements that I have. I let the people know that we're going to have a round table. And sometimes, whoever knew, we're going to let them share their story instead of listening to the same person every time. So it's good to hear someone else's story, you know, because, like I said, my friend Ricardo, his stroke was different, you know. He had to lay on the operating table for almost 6 hours with his brain cut open in the back for the brain to go down. It was swollen. So, you know, folks go through different ways, different things. So, you know, you want to hear stuff like that. And you want the encouragement, you know. It ain't like, well, I want to be in this business. No, it's more like you need the information. You need to know what happened. If this happened to my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, you know, you need to know something, you know, but we don't know what to do when people have a stroke. And all we need to do is call 911. But they have different things you can see if a person is having a stroke. You know, it's called FAST. F-A-S-T. Face. Look at the person's face. If it's drooping, you know, the arm, see if the arm is starts shrinking up or they hold it in a certain way, you know. Make sure they're doing it right. Then see, you know, you want to call. You want to get on the phone and call somebody. Call 911, you know. And the E, you know, take every step that you need to do to get it right, you know. Thank you, Miss Molly.
Yes, FAST. So FAST is another acronym, which is the face. Make sure the face isn't drooping, like you said. The arms, see if they can lift both arms. The speech, is their speech slurring or not? And time.
That time.
How quickly can the person respond? And also, time is of the essence. It's important to get people to the hospital right away.
It is.
Calvin, you're creating a community amongst your support group. Can you tell us about other groups that have helped you in your recovery? Maybe a church group or your school group or some physical therapists, your neighborhood. You mentioned your role as a father and a neighbor and a friend, et cetera. But I'm also wondering what groups have helped support you in your recovery process.
I can only say the ministry that I've been in, they have bent over backwards trying to support me in any way they can. As far as trying to even help me to orchestrate getting my book out, trying to get a place to have my meetings at. I mean, yeah, I only deal with people that's on a positive level right now. If you don't want to do nothing with your life, you go to the next person. Because I want to help everyone out there that want help. You know, my door's open, you know. I don't have much, but whatever I have, I can still want you to get to the next step of your life.
And that's so true, right? We can want something for someone else, but that person has to want it. But sometimes, like you said, sometimes we have pity parties, and that's just a natural thing. That's a natural part of the process. But we need to pull out of that in order to get better, to take the next step, to help other people, to inspire other people.
And you're not by yourself. You're not by yourself by you being a stroke victim. I'm sure there's other people out there that be going through something else, whether it's a heart attack, whether it's any kind of that you may have cancer, or whatever. Everybody needs somebody. You know, it's not wrong with the talking about it. You know, you can't get hurt or injured by speaking to somebody and helping them and seeing how you can help them. So I'm loving the way I am now. You know, I just think life is just different to me now. Since this has happened to me, I see life different. You know, I want to leave. I got a friend now. He was in recovery with me. He going through a whole lot of different things. You know, I just got calling him and encouraging him, brother, you got to keep on. You know, there ain't no time to quit now. You know, because people are still looking for you, for your help, your encouragement, you know? Because if you encourage them now, you can encourage them now.
Yes. And we all need encouragement at every stage of recovery.
Yes.
Sometimes we plateau. And the plateau might be a week. It might be a month. It might be 5 years. But we can always get better. We can always work towards better recovery.
Yeah.
It might not look the same as we were before the stroke, but we can do a little something.
Yeah.
And it might even just be a better mindset. But like you said in your talk, there are ways that you're a better man now.
It changes you. Everything changes. When people have a heart attack, they change. You may not see them change on the inside, but trust me, they change on the outside. They don't even think the same. Life is so good to be around. Nobody want to be gone. I know we all have to leave one day because we're only in the shell. This body's only a shell. We just here in it for this time. But I like to make time of my life helping people, talking to people, loving on people, learning people, they learning me, and let's move on.
Calvin, it's clear you're an inspiration for many. Can you think of three people that have been inspirations for you along the way?
I have a total of, when I did my last stroke support group, I had 17 people on the call. And I can say 10 of them I was in recovery with. And they always encouraged me. And to this day, they still call and say, hey, Cal, you don't know what? We haven't heard from you in a while. I'm here. I'm just revamping things. You know, I'm trying to restructure things in a different way. But yeah, I get a lot of encouragement as well. You know, just feedback on me. Say, hey, you okay? If I know you're okay, I'm okay. It's a guy, his name is Mills. He's a police officer. He's faithful. There's nothing wrong with him. He never had a stroke or nothing. But when I had the stroke, our friendship got even closer. And he called me every Friday. He said, are you okay, man? I said, yeah. I said, can I call you a friend? He said, yeah. You call me a friend? And he said, I am your friend. To be a friend is how you be a friend. So, you know, we talk every Friday a call. and check on me. There's a lot of people check in on me, you know, and I appreciate it.
That consistent communication is important.
It is. It boosts you up when you're down, you know, because you'll never know what you may be going through each day. You never know. I mean, you know, you might be feeling real bad from therapy one day and just tired and want no one to be bothered. But you get that one call that's supposed to say, hey, man, I was just thinking about you. I just wanted to just hear your voice. And that would encourage someone. That would move a person to the next level they need to be at. And that's what I want to live my life, so I can encourage someone else.
There's a gal I spoke with that said her friends didn't quite know what to do, how to support her after she had her stroke. But there was one acquaintance that texted her every day she was in the hospital and for months after she returned home. And she said, just looking forward to that text made her know that she was supported and loved. And sometimes it's our best friend that does it, but sometimes they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so the man who reached out to you and still reaches out to you on Fridays is a great example.
Yes.
Of ways that we can help each other.
Yeah. That's so true.
Calvin, what's one message you'd like to offer your fellow stroke survivors?
I want to say one thing I would tell you to do is to hold your head up, because tomorrow is a better day. What you're going through today may not be tomorrow. We take each day as we can and appreciate the days that you are here. So hold your head up, I would tell you. Just hold your head up. And if you need someone to call, call me. Get in touch with me. I don't care what state you're in. Call me. I'm a friend. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you. I love listening to your messages of support and guidance and motivation. And if you want to reach Calvin, it's skyscrapermentorship.org. He'll be there. So now let us take a moment of pause to give thanks for our time with Calvin Randall today. A moment to think about the people in our lives who have offered support, inspiration, motivation. For them, we give thanks. We think of the tools that Calvin offered us, the tools of patience, connection, confidence. Reminders of ways that we might be better people now. We give thanks. And again, like we did at the beginning, we call to mind people who might need support, love, inspiration, encouragement. And we ask for courage that we may step up and offer those things to the people in need. May we support each other and cultivate community. Calvin, thanks again. Thank you so much for spending time with us today and offering your wisdom and ways that you've grown throughout your recovery.
I want to thank you, Molly, from my heart. It was an honor and a privilege to come for you to have me on your show to tell my story so I'll be able to help someone else. So thank you for your plateau that you have put me on today. And I love you for that.
Oh, love you too, Calvin. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the past, 4 weeks that we've met in order to gather and share stories together. So thank you, Calvin. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to Part 2, Calvin Randall's interview. For the full story, please listen to Part 1, Calvin Randall's story. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, guest Calvin Randall offered his story entitled Tools for Reconstructing Life After Stroke. He shared how tools of patience, confidence, connection, service, and reminders of motivation and lessons learned have helped him rebuild his life. If you enjoyed this moment of pause for storytelling and reflection, please like, share, or subscribe to the Beyond Stillness Stories After Stroke podcast. Again, thanks for listening. And remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you are part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.